Hello, friends, and welcome to day number 120 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. It's great to have you here with us on this Friday. As it is the end of the week, I hope that you are planning for a time of rest, to be rejuvenated, to spend time in the delight that God has provided for you, and to draw closer to God through some time of rest so that you're ready to get back to serving God throughout the week. Today, we'll be reading from Job chapter 2 through 8. Psalm number 120, and Proverb number 27. By way of this podcast, I'm actually going to go back to yesterday's reading and read for us Job chapter 1, and from this reading today, Job chapter 2. But be sure to read the rest on your own. As always, I'll be using the web translation of the Bible, that's the World English Bible, because it's in the public domain, but feel free to use whatever you have on hand or find most comfortable. If you feel so compelled to click like and subscribe on your listening platform of choice, I would be most appreciative, as that does help us out get viewed in search results and also allows you to find out when new episodes are available. But no pressure, not forcing you to do it, just asking you to consider. Maybe this is a good way for you to share God's word with other people. Well, friends, without further ado, let's jump into God's word together. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God, and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the children of the East. His sons went and held a feast in the house of each one on his birthday, and they sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. It was so, when the days of their feasting had run their course, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and renounced God in their hearts." Job did so continually. Now on the day when God's sons came to present themselves before Yahweh, Satan also came among them. Yahweh said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, "From going back and forth in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Yahweh said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him in the earth, a blameless and an upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you made a hedge around him and around his house and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But stretch out your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will renounce you to your face." Yahweh said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only on himself don't stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of Yahweh. It fell on a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, that a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans came and took them away. Yes, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God has fallen from the sky and has burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans made 3 bands and swept down on the camels and have taken them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, there came another also and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young men, and they are dead. I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I have come out of my mother's womb, and naked I will return. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be Yahweh's name." In all this, Job didn't sin nor charge God with wrongdoing. Job chapter 2. Again, on the day when God's sons came to present themselves before Yahweh, Satan came also among them to present himself before Yahweh. Yahweh said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered Yahweh and said, "From going back and forth in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Yahweh said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him in the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still maintains his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Satan answered Yahweh and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will renounce you to your face." Yahweh said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of Yahweh and struck Job with painful sores from the sole of his foot to his head. He took for himself a potsherd to scrape himself with, and he sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still maintain your integrity? Renounce God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women who would speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job didn't sin with his lips. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come on him, they each came from his own place: Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes from a distance and didn't recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And they each tore his robe and sprinkled dust on their heads toward the sky. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks for this time together. Please send forth your Spirit to illuminate these words that we might gain understanding. Speak to our hearts, open our minds, and apply your truth and your wisdom to our lives, that we might glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, we have here in the book of Job a portrayal of a man who had everything and then lost everything. And it leads us to question, where does evil come from? What does God think of evil, and what will God do when it comes to evil? Now, there are some who believe the book of Job is poetic, that it doesn't necessarily have to be interpreted as literal, meaning that there was a literal person, Job, and that he literally lost everything. Or perhaps it serves as a metaphor for the things that happen to us throughout our lives and how God is with us in the midst of those things. Either way, what it does show us is that God does allow certain trials. There are cosmic agents such as the fallen angels that can try to entice us to sin or can cause harm to us. But these trials are never outside of God's control, meaning these trials don't have the last word for our lives. Now, one of the characters here is named Satan. Now, we don't know if this is the devil or the adversary that we kind of get a picture of from the New Testament, like the Apostle Peter saying that there's the devil who's prowling around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. But here, Satan is Hasatan, which means the accuser. And it appears that God has a court of officials, so to speak, of these angels. The angels are supposed to be the spiritual entities that do God's bidding, relaying messages, and so on. But here, Hasatan is the accuser. He goes about the earth and looks at the people and brings charges against them when he returns to God. And so apparently, as of late, Hasatan has been going around the earth and has seen a bunch of evil. And God says, "Well, have you seen my servant Job? He is one of the good, one of the righteous, probably the last that are remaining on the earth, because evil is just growing and growing and growing. He says, what about my servant Job? And the accuser says, you know, you have a hedge of protection around this guy, and if that hedge of protection is removed, then he's going to curse you, because I can afflict him with pain, with loss, and all of these things, and he's going to curse you to your face. And so God allows that trial to come into Job's life to show that Job is a righteous and faithful person. And really, that's what tests are all about, the tests and the trials that God allows in our lives. It's to reveal the level of faith that we have in our lives. It tests it, it reveals our weaknesses and helps us to overcome those weaknesses and to come out stronger and more faithful on the other side. God will allow trials because they will better us in some way, so that we might live better lives, that we might have the eternal things and not the temporal things in our lives, and that we would thrive and be productive for God. The Apostle James, the brother of Jesus, said in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really enjoy trials in that sense, right? And that's not what James is saying here. James is asking you to look beyond the testing to what it is going to do inside of you, and to be joyful at the prospect of coming out stronger, more faithful, more enduring on the other side. Throughout the rest of the book of Job, we're going to see Job wrestling with his own emotions and pain, and dealing with friends that were there supposedly to support him and be compassionate, but later start accusing him. He's going to wrestle with God, and we're going to see that God was with Job every step of the way, and that Job was, in fact, faithful. We have to admit that Job is a challenging book, and I hope that you will stick in with me as we navigate through the rest of the chapters together over the coming weeks. As a poetic work and a wholly inspired work of God, it'll be important that we read Job and use the entirety of Scripture to help interpret it. So friends, as we go about our lives today and this week and always, really, we have to come to expect that trials will find us, whether God allows them or they just find themselves in our midst by chance or the will of other people or circumstances. We need to realize and trust and lean into the fact that God is with us and will use these situations to build our character, to reveal our faith, and make us into the very best versions of ourselves so that we might glorify Him. So I hope that you enjoyed this time together, friends, and I look forward to seeing you again on Monday. Until then, God bless.